The Ambitious Radio Network. Conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders. Are you an entrepreneur, startup junkie, or just someone interested in improving their leadership skills? If you're looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening to Ambitious Radio will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with today's most influential thought leaders and entrepreneurs as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can apply immediately after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambitious Radio. This is your host, Doug Parker, and today we've got Gloria Daskal on with us, and I am so excited about having her on here. As we get started, I'll tell you, she was kind of on my bucket list of people that I wanted to have on the show. She is one of the most sought-after executive leadership coaches in the world and has an extensive cross-cultural expertise that spans 14 countries, 6 languages, hundreds of companies, and as the founder and CEO of Lead From Within, her proprietary leadership program is engineered to be a catalyst for leaders who want to enhance their performance, as well as their companies, their lives, and the world. Lolly has been designated a top 50 leadership and management expert by Inc. magazine. The Huffington Post recently honored her as the world's most inspiring woman. In the world, not just local, not in America, in the world. Her writings have been featured in the Harvard Business Review, Inc.com, Fast Company, Huffington Post, and many, many more. And she's got a new book that's coming out, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. It's available for pre-order right now. But I'll tell you what, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next segment. But Lolly, tell us a little bit about yourself. What did I leave out?
You did a great job, Doug. And before we begin to talk about myself, I just want to say, you know, my bucket list is mutual. The admiration is mutual. And I'm really honored to be here.
Well, thank you so much for inviting us back on episode 26. And I had reached out to a couple of other people that I knew, Bo Burlingham, that was formerly with Inc. magazine. And I was like, hey, do you have, you know, Lolly's contact? Do you know her? And he's like, she's the real deal. He goes, I don't have it, but reach out to her through Twitter. And so I did some outreach, and then you reached out to me. And so it really is cool to have you on the show. But yeah, let's jump in real quick. Let's talk a little about who you are. For those that don't know you, where are you from? Where'd you go? And what's your background?
So I grew up in New York City, and I've always been extremely passionate about human behavior and asking questions like why. I remember at an early age, I kept asking my parents, why? And they said, oh my God, I used to drive them crazy. So I was very curious. I was always wanting to know why people do what they do. And curiosity and learning was something that started at a very early age. And, you know, then I grew into this curiosity of psychology and philosophy. And trust me, Doug, I didn't say, oh, I'm going to grow up to be a coach. I didn't grow up and say, this is who I'm going to be. It was, I feel, through the curiosity of learning and growing and developing myself that led me to fall upon this career as, you know, really coaching others to develop themselves and evolve within themselves. And it's almost like it was a synchronicity. I was working on myself, and in turn, I ended up helping others.
Very good. So, you know, you're growing up in New York, and you said that, you know, this really wasn't something you saw yourself with. Now, do you come from an entrepreneurial family or a business-related family, or what's kind of the background? How did you get into the business world?
I come from a family of scholars, teachers, educators. My name Daskal means professor. And so we've always been coaches, teachers, educators for generation from generation. Actually, one of my 3 kids is a teacher. And so, but my son is an entrepreneur. My other daughter is very entrepreneurial. So, but this idea of empowering people, engaging with people, goes back from generation to generation.
Well, and I appreciate you pronouncing your name for me there, and I always want to make sure that I get that right. So Daskal.
No. You got it right. American, it's Daskal, but in Europe, it's Daskal. No, you said it perfectly. You did a great job.
Well, thank you for that. I always try to say it right for folks, and I'm glad, you know, it means professor. So it's teaching, it's getting in front of people, it's doing all of those things. Now, you know, when you talk about, there's things that you do that coach others and those kind of things, but personally, what are the things that you do to grow yourself and get better at things?
So I have a couple of disciplines, which I call rituals, that I do every single day. One of the things that I have found is that if I am a disciplined person, then I find that I have more freedom in my life. And I found that if I do certain rituals, then I can have a more enriching life. So the first thing that I do, and I've been doing this, it's almost, I think it's like 27 years or 28 years, between the hours of 4:30 and 6:30, I read a book. And so you would say that every single day, 7 days a week, instead of reaching for my phone or going to the gym, which I'm sure every doctor's saying, get out of your head, out of the book and go to the gym. But that is my way of working out. It's my way of growing and evolving. So in the morning, I read. In the evening, I have a discipline, a ritual that I always ask myself, Lolly, what did you do really great today? How did you make an impact today? How did you serve someone today? What was meaningful today? And so I think about that. But then after I think about that, I always ask another question. I always ask myself, what can you do tomorrow to be better than you were today? And it's this own little measurement, inner metrics that I do, that it never has me playing small. It never has me thinking I could have done, should have done, because I'm constantly checking in with myself. I'm constantly asking myself to take myself to the next level.
Now, when you look at that, what did you do good today? Are there ever days where you get kind of to the end of the day and you're like, I could have done better here. I just didn't do much good today. Or is it pretty consistently now that you're in that rhythm?
So one of the things is I have a true servant heart. And so I'm constantly asking myself, how can I serve? It's something that's innate. It's something that I do on a daily basis. So it doesn't have to be something profound. It could be simply as this, at checking in with someone, asking how they are, asking them how I can help, asking them what they need, just listening to someone when they're in a crisis. That's being of service to someone. People think that they have to go out and do extraordinary acts. And I find that it's the little small things that really make a difference.
Sure. There's no question about it. And I love that, you know, kind of what gets measured gets improved. So you're measuring yourself constantly and, you know, it continues to, you know, be the little things that you can really do to make a difference in someone's day. And like I said, it doesn't have to be huge, but I like that. I like that a lot. Now, you talked about reading every single day from 4:30 to 6:30. Now, in some of the show prep I went through, I saw that you kind of read, when you say you read a book every morning from 4:30 to 6:30, you're not saying that you read a part of a book. Like, you pretty much read a book every day, right? Is that what you're saying?
A whole book.
A whole book. Now, I got to get a little more information on that, because reading a whole book in a couple of hours, do you have some kind of speed reading technique that you've learned, or is it just you're just a voracious reader and just comes naturally?
So I'm going to share a secret with you, and it's a good question you're asking me. I'm in the process right now of recording the audio version of my new book, and I have a director who's helping me. So I'm reading my book, and she says, Lolly, you leave out all the little words in every sentence, every A, every the, every of, as, every is, you just leave out. And so I realize now that I'm reading in the morning after I've attended all these sessions and recording my book, I don't think I read fast, but I have a way with my eye. I look at the sentence. I mean, it's not like sometimes I want to memorize a sentence, so I try to repeat it over and over again, and I try to bring it to my coaching clients during the day, something that I learned. But I think I skim over the sentence without reading all the little words, all the prepositions maybe. I don't know, but it's something that came to my attention recently, and I never knew that about myself.
Interesting. That's really interesting. Yeah, and one of the, you know, things when I was growing up, I've never been a great reader. And I just realized that a couple years ago, I was supposed to get glasses when I was a little kid, and I was like, nah, I'm not wearing glasses. And I never did, and I never read books. I just listened really intently and made good enough grades to get by. And then a couple years ago, my eyes just couldn't focus, and I had to get some glasses, and I realized the reason why I haven't been reading is because I couldn't see the words that well, but I always loved audiobooks and those kind of things. So I'm gonna look into that and see if that helps speed up the reading for myself, because I love to listen, but the reading part was always a real struggle for me. Now, with you reading that many books, that's a ton load of books. You know, that's 365 books a year. Are there books that you go back in and reread that are like favorites that you go over many times? Or is it like once you're done with it, you're on to the next?
No. So I have another ritual that on my birthday, every single year, I reread Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. I really believe that by reading that book, it grounds me. And it's almost like people make New Year resolutions. And on my birthday, it's a way of checking in with myself and, you know, taking account of myself and seeing where I am and where I want to go and seeing if I'm, you know, getting carried away by some of my challenges and maybe I need to ground myself more. So every single birthday, I read Man's Search for Meaning. I also pick it up when I'm finding that I'm being challenged or that I don't have any answers. And it just seems to really ground me and give me the sense of peace that no other book can do. I do reread books. Some of them, if you don't have a pic, you don't see me right now, but I'm in a room that the four walls are covered with books and they're color coordinated. So there's a bookshelf of white, a bookshelf of red and black. And I think it was Bob Berg that watched the video. I think we were talking on video and he's like, I can't believe the way you have your books color coordinated. And I said to him, you know, books are usually by publishers are, you know, like leadership books are usually white, red, and books about business are sometimes black and white. And so I know my books by the color. So it's easy for me if someone says poetry, I go, oh, Byron is red. Oh, leadership is white. You know, Thomas Mann is always black. Beowulf is black. Any book by Penguin is orange and white. So, you know, so anyway, so that's what I do. I know my books. I reread my books. They're my teachers. They're my mentors.
And when new books come out, are you the kind of person that's going to, you know, online or to Amazon, or do you like to go to regular bookstores and do you grab 10 or 15 books a month that are new books, or what does that cycle look like?
It's a great question. These days, I'm sent a bunch of books because I write for Inc. and people always want me to write about their books. So I'm constantly reading new books. Publishers send me books. But my favorite pastime is to walk into a bookshop and come out with shopping bags filled with books. I love the smell of books. I like holding a book. And so that's my favorite place, a bookshop.
You know, that's really cool stuff. And in this day and age, you know, a few years back, I'm in the Texas area just north of Dallas, and so my daughter and I, she was going off to college, and she needed to get a couple books, and so we went into a bookstore that was relatively new in the community, and I drove by it the other day, and it wasn't there anymore. And, you know, while the convenience of the Amazons, where you can just, you know, Amazon Prime it or whatever, there's something about being able to go into a bookstore and just, you know, look at all the things that are there and select that, you know, it's a different world, and I'm sure in New York there's obviously a bunch of everything there, but here in Texas, I mean, honestly, I don't even know where the nearest bookstore is nowadays. Now that one closed down, that's sad to think that way. But that's the world we live in today. I guess there's progress, and it changes things.
It's a shame. The interesting thing is when I travel a lot for work, and sometimes I travel a lot, and sometimes the customs, they're like, oh, Lolly's back. And they know that in my suitcase, there are 25 books and one black suit. And so they used to laugh in the very beginning. Now they're just like, Lolly, it's okay. But now when I travel, I do put my books on Kindle so I don't have to carry the 25 books with me. But I like to read a book. I like to hold it. I like to smell it. I like to underline it. And you can't – I don't feel that I can do that in my Kindle. I won't – I have a better connection when I'm holding a book.
Yep. You know, and so I'm on the other end of the spectrum. When I don't have a Kindle, but I've got the iPad. But what I do is I highlight them and I take pictures of them. And then I've got where I sort my pictures in like a little photo gallery on my iPad. And then if I want to go back through and look at my notes, I can just flip through my pictures that I took of the screen that and what was highlighted. So that's kind of the way I do it on the digital versions of it, because I do the same thing when I'm traveling. It's hard to carry a bunch of books around. But anyway, well, you know, great information. I mean, it really is great things for our listeners and all. If you like what you're hearing and you want to be updated on what's going on, who's the next guest on, or you can text the word ambitious to 69922. Standard messaging rates do apply. You can also go back to the show notes. We've got all the information, and just type in Lolly and then she'll pop up, and then you can listen to this episode or any other. And right after this, we're going to hear more from Lolly. We'll talk about her entrepreneurial and ambitious journey that she's been on right here on the Ambitious Radio Network. Are you tired of paying too much for electricity from the former monopolies and getting terrible customer service? Do you really even know how much you're paying per kilowatt? Sometimes they quote you a lower rate, but then add back in the delivery charge. Ugh, how frustrating. Go to electricity.guru, that's right, .guru, for your free analysis. Who knows, with just a few referrals, you could actually earn free electricity. If you're tired of paying outrageous electricity bills, do something about it. Would you like to get a significant discount or even get free electricity? Go to electricity.guru and compare our rates to what you're currently paying. Many of our clients are saving anywhere from 15 to 20%. We also have a referral program that allows you to earn free electricity. Yes, free electricity. And you cannot beat free cents per kilowatt. Award-winning service, competitive rates, and low deposits, if even required. Go to electricity.guru for more details. That's electricity.guru. We offer free energy credits to customers who refer and activate 15 or more qualified customers to our electricity service and are not passed through on their bill. To get your free energy credit, your customers must be referred through the free customer gathering website. See electricity.guru for more details. All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and today we've got Lolly Daskal with us, and I am so excited to ask her in a break. How should I pronounce your name? She said, you did good, Daskal, so I'm going to go with it. You're a coach, you're an author, I mean, you're so much more. I know you've just written your first book. It's coming out. Let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, it's a great great title, The Leadership Gap, but tell us what's it all about and how you got there to writing a book.
Thank you for asking. So the book is, if you read the book, it's the system that I use to coach executives around the world. And interestingly enough, it was 2 years ago, I was shopping around a proposal with my agent to publishers around the world. I want to write a book. This is the proposal. And everybody was liking the proposal that I was shopping around. They're like, yeah, we like it. We like this title. It makes sense. And there was one publishing house that actually said to me, we don't really like your proposal, but we know that you can write a better book. What is it that you do on a daily basis? How can you be sustainable in your business for so many years? I said, oh, I teach them a system called Rethink. And they said, that's what you should write about. So this book is about the Rethink system, the seven archetypes that are in each of us and the polarities that exist within those archetypes. And that's how the book came to be birthed. And I never would have done it. It's even though I do this every single day with clients around the world, I never thought I should write a book about that. I was going to write about the seven most important questions a leader should ask themselves every day. Instead, this is a much richer book. It's a masterpiece. If I say so myself, because it's taken the three decades of all my work and it's in this book.
You know, the one thing that stood out to me just then was you had many publishers that they liked what you had to say. They would have published your book. And then did you wind up going with the company that initially told you, no, we don't like this?
Absolutely.
So
because it lends into the ritual of what I do every night. What can you do tomorrow to be better? And I thought the idea of writing the Rethink book, The Leadership Gap, would take me to another level.
So the average person would have probably taken the path of least resistance and said, all right, you're saying yes to me. This is what I want to do. Let's go. But you internalized that and said, wait a minute now. This is going to cause me to stretch and grow. I'm going to have to do something. They kind of, in a way, told me my baby's a little bit ugly, but they know I'm better than that. And I mean, a lot of people get their feelings hurt. They're like, they'll say, no, I'm going with who likes me. You want to be in the in crowd, if you will. So that's a obviously high level to be able to internalize that. Now, have you always been that way, or was there a time where, can you ever think of a point where something hurt your feelings and it was a turning point that you decided to go ahead and internalize it and do something about it, or have you just kind of always been that way?
I'm sure there are hundreds of times when I've been hurt and I internalized it, but it doesn't keep me from taking myself to the next level. If I'm serious about taking myself to the next level, then I constantly have to be growing and evolving. And the only way you do that is by pushing yourself. And so even though it's a ritual that I do every night, it's something that I live by. And so when it was a sure thing, when they said, oh, you can do better, I'm like, yeah, tell me how, show me how, because that gets me excited.
And so they gave you pushback and just continue to ask questions, and then you kind of formalize that process and then put it in writing.
Absolutely. And then I wrote a very complicated manuscript, and they were like, no. We need that people can relate to this. And so I took my system and I took a very profound process and simplified it in a way that every single person from the age, I mean, you can give this to a high school student, you can give this to someone who's in their 90s or in the hundreds, whatever it is. This is the thing. If you want to change where you're at, if you want to take yourself to the next level, if you don't like parts about yourself, if you think you can do better, if you're looking for greatness within yourself, this book is for you.
So let me ask you this. So, I mean, obviously you've got massive success and I'm still kind of a little bit awestruck. I don't really normally get that way, but I was a little nervous and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I got this email from you, what seemed random to me, a few months back. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've been trying to get a hold of her for a long time. So I'm a little bit nervous here, but when we talk about your experience and all these things, you're at the top of your game, the top of anybody's game, at this moment in your career pursuits. But can you talk about a time where maybe you had a failure, maybe something didn't go the way that you wanted to, maybe it was a massive failure, but it was something that you learned a lot from, and you in hindsight you're glad you went through it, and then just how you persevered through it.
So, just for everybody listening to this podcast and to this show, is that I constantly, on a daily basis, have to face my fears. It doesn't really matter at what level you're at. Life is always here to bring you challenges. Life is always here to bring you something. It says, okay, you've reached this step, you've reached this process, now we're here to take you to the next one. And so the thing is, do I face failure and challenges every day? Let's go back to that audiobook. I think it's the most difficult thing I've been doing. You have to sit in a studio for hours on end, and you have to read and read. And I'm skipping every A, every the, every is, and every of. And so I have to keep going back. Am I hard on myself? And do I say I feel like a failure? Yes. Am I showing up every morning and saying, let's try again and let's do this again? Yes. And so I'm challenging myself to say, okay, you noticed a pattern of what you do, but now you could get better at this. And in the first couple of hours, I did feel like a failure, like anybody else can read. Why can't you do it and do a great job? And hopefully the end product will be seamless and beautiful. But I found it very challenging.
And I'm glad you're sharing that with us, because, a lot of times it's all, you hear about these rainbows and butterflies and how great life is and all that kind of stuff. But, as voracious of a reader as you are and just a prolific writer, I mean, all the things you're doing, you would think that wouldn't be a challenge for you. But it's something that you didn't realize until you started, doing your own narration of the book. And now it's a real, I wouldn't say a problem. I mean, you're working through it, but it's a reality that you're having to deal with something and getting through it. So you just got to practice and go over and over again until you get it perfect. Because I can tell by the way you write things, you're going to want the audio to be just as fantastic as the writings are. I'm quite sure. So now, if you could go back and tell yourself one thing, maybe one little piece of advice or something in the past, what would it have been, and kind of what time in your life was that?
So I've always been a little hard on myself, because you can tell by my ritual. How can you do better tomorrow? How can you do better tomorrow? What did you do? I'm always taking account of myself. And one of the things that I learned, I don't remember at what age it was, but it was pretty early on. Somebody called me, stop being a perfectionist. And I really took that to heart. I was like, okay, what is a perfectionist? And then I explored to myself, how do you do things, Lolly? And then I came up with this equation that really works for me. For some, it might be I'm being a perfectionist, but what I'm really doing is really wanting to show up with excellence. And I have to this is what I realized, and I keep telling myself this all the time, Lolly, there's no such thing as perfect. It's unattainable. You can't get it. It doesn't exist. Don't go for that. That is not a metric to measure yourself at. But if you can bring the best of what you have to offer, if you can bring quality, if you can bring excellence, then that's fine. That's good enough. And that has been a lifesaver for myself. So the advice that I would give, that I've given myself throughout the years, is stop going for perfect. strive for excellence.
That is great, great information. My goodness. Strive for excellence, but you can't get the perfection. It's just not going to happen. So,
because guess what? I wanted to be perfect. Well, I showed up and I was awful. I was so bad. And she goes, you sound like a robot. Because I said, well, I'm trying to remember what Bob said, what Jill said, what Jeremy said, what Joan said, what Dave said. And I was trying to remember like all the things, how to be perfect. And then I realized something that Viktor Frankl says in The Man's Search of Meaning. He says, when you're no longer able to change a situation, that means we are challenged to change ourselves. And then I knew, okay, Lolly, what is your goal about this book? You want to be authentic. It doesn't have to be perfect. I'm sure the audio is not going to be perfect, but guess what you're going to get? You're going to get my heart. You're going to get my soul, and you're going to get me being so authentic. Because when I was reading last weekend parts of the book, I was so moved. I found myself in tears. And so I remember reading one of the stories because I remember what it was like coaching him and what he went through. And so what you're going to get is full heart, but you're not going to get perfect.
Yeah, that's reality, guys. That's the things that we're looking for. And as entrepreneurs, as leaders, you know, always striving, you know, for better. You know, you're not going to hit perfection, but always striving for the best. It's just really is great stuff for our ambitious listeners. Thank you for tuning in, listeners. Thank you, Lolly, for, you know, giving us all this great content. And next, we're going to be talking more to Lolly, really about making decisions. What's next? She coaches people all the time, CEOs, high-level individuals. And, you know, the vision of individuals is what, you know, without vision, a people will perish. That's for what leaders have to do for their organizations. But how do they have the vision, go execute, but then stay focused on the other things? We'll talk more about that right here on the Ambitious Radio Network after a brief word from our sponsors. Hello, this is Doug Parker, and I have been working with loan officers for over 2 decades. And if you're looking for a new mortgage, I want to introduce you to Jeff Janash. He's with Town Square Mortgage. This guy's got programs for every situation, whether you're self-employed, you need down payment assistance, a cash out refinance for debt consolidation. They can even do jumbo loans with 10% down. Rates are very competitive. Their service exceeds expectations. They're 2-time 5-star professional award winner. Very quick turnarounds. They can actually get loans closed in 3 weeks. A great program to be part of if you want to get in, get out, don't want to play a bunch of games. These guys are here local and can take really good care of you. I've known Jeff for many, many years, and he's actually available after hours. Give Jeff Janash a call, 972-292-7599, or you can go to tsmlending.com. That's tsmlending.com. T like town, S for square, M for mortgage, lending.com. Town Square Mortgage, 17300 Dallas Parkway, Suite 1030, Dallas, Texas, 75248. NMLS ID, 169224. All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and today we're talking to Lolly Baskin, and she's going to tell us about her entrepreneurial experience, the journey, what all is that like, and, you know, really how to coach people through making decisions on what's next. I know that's what she does professionally, so, you know, let's jump right in. How do you keep people focused on, you know, what's the task at hand today, but still having that vision and executing, you know, that vision?
So I have a practice. Again, everything for me is a discipline and a ritual. So what I like to do is I do this for myself. Whatever I coach, I use it's something that I use for myself, and I use this with my clients. I think it's very important as a leader to always look ahead, right? That's the part of a leader. They're visionaries. They're always looking for the future. But this is what I found to be true. We have to know what our future is, but every single day, we have to take responsibility and accountability and make the moments of our lives pure excellence. Why? Because that's going to lead us to our vision and greatness. So if my discipline is that today, everything that I do, I bring my best and I'm working towards reaching my goals and taking responsibility and owning it, then guess what? At the end of the day, I'm reaching my goal, right? And it's giving me my future. So I think it's about showing up every single day and giving the best of what you have to what you're doing.
you know, I hear a reoccurring theme: accountability, discipline, you know, responsibility. It's all those things that if you are not disciplined yourself, then you'll be disciplined by others. You know, that's you know, unfortunately how this world works, or fortunately if you look at it, if you're a disciplined person. But I love that theme and hearing about it, because it makes, you know, it makes such a difference. Now, let's talk about you personally. I mean, you know, you write. It seems like writing is just, that's your mainstay. Is that the main thing that you do, is write these articles, and or is it coaching, or how do you determine which piece is what during the day? Do you time block? How do you fit it all into a day?
No, my main business is coaching and business consulting, speaking, and running workshops as a facilitator. That's my main business. When I leave a client, or when I have a session with a client, they're usually struggling about something. And this is what I have found to be true after doing this for 3 decades. If someone is struggling with something, most likely others are struggling about it too. And so that leads me to write an article. And so what I work with my clients, feeds me and nourishes me to write about in articles. Writing articles is not my business. I actually do that. I write 100 articles a month, but my whole thing is about coaching, empowering, and engaging with individuals, and then bringing that, whatever that is that we've learned from each other, or ways to serve others, and I serve others by writing articles.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And so you've got, you know, real life experience, and what you're going through is what you're writing about, and then that's what you're coaching on and speaking on. So it kind of all intertwines.
Absolutely. I spend a lot of time on planes and trains and automobiles, and that's my downtime. And I always say, how can I be of service to others? How can I make an impact on others? What should I write about? What did I just learn from this last client? What are they struggling with? And if I can break it down, I usually have 5 to 6 articles that I could have just from that one coaching session.
Interesting. Okay, great. Well, you're leveraging and maximizing your time. No question about it. Now, we talked about mentoring a little bit in the pre-show, and can you tell us a little bit? Obviously you're a fan of mentoring because you're doing it with others. Now, do you personally have a mentor that you work with, or have you had those in the past?
So I have 3 very significant mentors in my life, but I've never met them, and I've only read their books. So the first mentor is Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. And as you know, he's my mentor. I read his book once a year. I take his wisdom with me wherever I go. I use it with my coaching. So he's been a great mentor. The next mentor that I have is Joseph Campbell. And Joseph Campbell has taught me that it's a privilege of a lifetime to be who I am. When I read that, I was like, yeah, what am I going to do with this privilege? And so Joseph Campbell has taught me magnificent things. He also taught me that in my challenges and my worst of times, I can find all my treasures. And so it gives me hope. And then there was Carl Gustav Jung, who taught me all about archetypes and taught me all about within archetypes, their shadows. And then I've learned from that if I want to do great things and make an impact in the world, I'm going to have to learn how to leverage those shadows. And that's where my coaching has taken off from, you know, Jung's work, is where now that I know that we have shadows within us, what can I do to help people work through those shadows in order for them to stand in their greatness?
Very good. Now, so what would you say is next for you? I mean, you've got a fine-tuned machine where, you know, the coaching that you do feeds the articles, and writing the articles, I'm sure, gets you coaching, and then you get to go speak, and you've got your travels that gives you time to focus on those things. Is there something that you've got next for you that's on your bucket list, something that you would like to go do, or is it just kind of keep everything steady and keep everything, you know, out of the ditches for now?
So my goal is, I don't put down goals as I want to speak to bigger audiences or do this or work with this client. My goal is always at the end. Some people make it every New Year's, right? In January, what are my goals? I actually always say to myself, how can I serve better? What can I do to make a bigger impact? And if it's articles, it'll be articles. And I allow life to unfold for myself, because this is what I have found for myself. If I have an idea of what I want my life to be, it's only about what I know. And I have the silent prayer that I always say is like, take me to places that I haven't even discovered yet. It's like with the publisher, they saw something I didn't even know about. And so my goals, where I'm going next, I'm not really sure, but I'm going to be ready for it when it shows up. I'm going to recognize an opportunity because I'm open to it. So will it be more speaking? Will it be more books? Will it be coaching with different clients? Whatever it is, I'm ready.
That's really, really exciting, you know, kind of thinking through that process. I was in my mind thinking, you know, how else can you serve more? I mean, are there other ways to get in front of? Are there other mediums that are out there that, you know, obviously you've got the business, you know, magazines that are the top of the top and Huffington Post and all these other things that, you know, you're able to write in. And I was just trying to think of what could be next. What is there anything out there other than bigger audiences or bigger publications? Is there another format like a TED Talk or anything like that?
I would love a TED Talk. I would love to do it on the Rethink system. And, you know, now that you're asking me in the way you're asking me, something that my heart is tugging at, this book, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness, is almost like my life story. It has all the things that I've done with clients at a high level. And I really believe that if this book can get into the hands of many, I believe that I can be of, like, I'm fulfilling this idea of being of service to others. Because when you read this book and you learn the system, your life cannot help but change. It cannot help. It's the kind of information that you want to share with others. It's the kind of information you might want to share with your wife. You might want to share with your husband. You might want to share with your daughter or your son. It's the kind of book that I hopefully will have longevity and will have a profound effect on every single person who reads it.
You know, that's, you know, one of the things, one of the questions I like to ask sometimes is, you know, what makes you happy and what do you enjoy doing? And I can tell because it's been a reoccurring theme from the very beginning. It's not a one question or a one answer question. You know, you like helping people. You like helping them get to the next level. You like serving people, all those kind of things. And I can tell you take great pleasure from it. So I can only imagine when you're doing your coaching and you see breakthrough moments, how much of a difference that's making in their lives. And then it just fulfills you. Now, are there other things that are, you know, hobbies or other just things that you like to do that are fun other than just, you know, seeing others' growth?
Yeah, so I'm going to sound a little boring, but it's okay. So I get the tremendous amount of joy when I can have those hours between 4:30 and 6:30 and read a book. I'll tell you why. It gives me energy. And the things that a book does for me, I don't think others can do for me, because there's things that I'm always learning, and then there are things that I'm always sharing. And this connection that I could have with someone when I share something new gives me an enormous amount of energy. And I mean, I love nature. I love being with my family. I love all of that. But the idea that I could sit down with a book and learn something is pretty magnificent for me. You know, I was reading a book this morning by Martha Nussbaum, and it's a very intense philosophy book. It's called Anger and Forgiveness. And I wanted to memorize the whole book. And there were some passages I was actually crying over. I was like, wow, I wish I could have said that in that way. It was just magnificent. So those kind of things I really enjoy.
Well, you know, as we kind of wrap up this segment, we'll jump back in here in just a minute. We'll hear more from Lolly about how she recharges her ambitious body, mind, and spirit. And we've alluded to a little bit of those things, but we'll have a brief word from our sponsors when we'll be right back on the Ambitious Radio Network. Hey, ambitious listeners, you hear us interviewing entrepreneurs all the time, and there's a common theme. They want to be more productive and improve their communication. As an ambitious entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. The Ambitious Radio Network recently partnered with Grasshopper to offer our listeners a special discount. Log on to ambitiousradio.com and click on the Grasshopper banner in the bottom right-hand corner. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Sound professional with a main greeting and multiple extensions that forwards callers to your mobile phone or others in your organization. Get a toll-free toll-free number or local number for your business with multiple extensions. Set up each extension with custom call forwarding to any phone in the world. Get your voicemails emailed to you as an audio attachment or transcribe an email. Keep business calls separate from your personal calls. Plans start at $12 a month with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember to click on the Grasshopper banner at ambitiousradio.com for a special discount for our listeners. Join the over 150,000 small business owners that have stayed connected with Grasshopper. See how Grasshopper works? It's the entrepreneur's phone system. Turn the world into your office. All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and today we've got Lolly Baskin with us, and you were just kind of chatting in the break about kind of some of the things that she does, and I find it very intriguing, you know, the different personality styles and the different ways that people operate. It really is cool, and we're going to talk just a little bit about, you know, how she recharges her ambitious body, mind, and spirit. I know that we've chatted a little bit about different things, but, you know, let's talk about your daily routines. I know you said that you get up and you've got those bookends at, you know, 4:30 in the morning, you start reading a book, and then you've got the at the end of the day, hey, what could I do, or did I serve someone today, and how could I do that better? But let's talk about the rest of the day. I mean, you know, eating habits. Is there a certain discipline? You mentioned exercise that you're reading and somebody would tell you to exercise. So I'm thinking exercise may not be big on your list.
I love to walk. So I'm not very big on sitting in one place and saying the word om. I'm a very bad meditator. But this is what I found on one of the workshops that I was giving at an organization. Somebody said, oh, I can't meditate, because I start every workshop with an intake of breath and outtake of breath just to relax everybody and get everybody grounded. And they said, oh, I hope we're not going to be doing meditation. And I said, I'm really bad at meditation, but I found something that really works for me. Is it's called the meditative walk, where I unplug my phone and I put everything away and I just walk with silence, and I'm very, very mindful of my steps and I try to be very present. And when I do this meditation of walking, of just being very present, of being inside my body, being aware of my breath, it has a way of recalibrating everything within my system. It calms me down. It gives me clarity. So it's something that I like to do when I'm not running from clients to clients. When I'm rushing, it's not the best time to do that, because I want to be 110% on time and be there for my client. But when I get a chance, it's a ritual that I do. When you walk, walk. When you breathe, breathe. When I eat, eat. And don't do anything else.
Okay. Now you mentioned when you're, running, you know, from this client to that client. Do the majority of your clients, is it a person in person situation or is it over the phone? How does most of that consulting happen?
It's a little bit of both. It's a lot of time in person. It's a lot of time getting on a plane and seeing them for a week. It's a little bit of both. So it's not one or the other. Some clients just like to sit with you across the table. Some clients want you to come and watch them while they're in their board meeting. Some clients want you to observe how they lead their teams. So I'm always somewhere. If not, we're on the phone. But it's a little bit of everything.
Okay. And, you know, one of the other questions I like to ask folks, because, I mean, you're obviously a very intense individual. You know, when I'm talking to you, you're so easy to talk to. It's like laid back. It's like just a regular conversation. But when I read the things and I see you, I'm thinking of, you know, like a taskmaster or something. I don't know why that's what I thought, but I mean, you seem like super easy to talk to me. But, you know, so when it comes to this intensity and you're doing all these different things, do you ever, you know, unplug? Do you like to go on vacations? Is that something that's part of your annual, you know, or is traveling to you and from your clients enough for you?
So first of all, I'm definitely, I hear you say I'm intense, but I feel I'm disciplined, and I feel that I have disciplines and systems that I work through because I want to be able to have freedom to do the things I want to do. And so I feel that what you call intensity, I call discipline. Am I a taskmaster? Absolutely not. I'm very easygoing. I hope I am. I mean, I think I have longevity with what I do because I'm personable and I don't judge things. I show up. I'm very present. I come with compassion and empathy. So if I'm coming across as anything else, too intense, I hope that's not true. And what do I do? I mean, I love to travel. I love seeing new things. I love nature, and I love being with my, my family. I love being with my, they're not three children anymore. They would kill me now. They're three adults, but I love spending time with them, and I beg them to always come home on Friday night and sit with me, and so we can catch up on all the things that's happening in their lives.
You know, it's really cool. I am maybe just a little bit behind you. So my kids are technically they're adults. They're 20 and 22. And my son just had he and his girlfriend had a baby last week. Okay, so we're grandparents now, but my kids are still my kids, even though they're not kids anymore. But it's that same thing. You love that maturation process and talking to them and going through the process with them and seeing them mature. So I know the feeling, you mentioned that they're grown up and they're not little kids anymore. But you like that time with them and you know, hearing from them. I remember back when my daughter was probably, I don't know, like 10 or 11 years old. We've always done our businesses and with our kids, you know, kind of participating. And one time my daughter was in the back seat and she always listened to the conversations on speakerphone, whatever was going on. And afterwards, she's like, "Dad, I think this is what you need to do." And my immediate response was, "What do you think? You're an 11-year-old little kid." You know what I mean? But I listened to it and it was pretty sound advice. You know, like it made some sense. And so I enjoyed, you know, having, you know, her, you know, give that feedback. And then, you know, as she continued to get older, you know, she got more and more experience, more and more ideas. And now she's off to college. But it's cool, you know, seeing the kids do those kind of things and spending time with them. So now we're getting pretty close in the show. We've got a few minutes left. But I do want to kind of just chat a little bit about sleep, because I really do envy people that I see that can get, you know, less than 4 or 5 hours of sleep, because I'm the kind of guy that needs at least 7, 8, maybe even 9 hours of sleep to operate. I go to bed really early at night and I get up early, but I go to bed early as well. How many hours of sleep do you get per night?
That's me chuckling. I don't get much sleep. Most people that know me think I live two lives. It's like you have Lolly during the day and then you have Lolly at night. People say, "Are you a morning person?" I go, "Yeah." "Are you a night person?" "Oh, yeah." So I don't get that much sleep. I have a child who needs 9 hours. I have another child who needs 11 hours. I can take 3 or 4 hours and I'd be fine.
And that's consistently for like your whole life. You've always been
my whole life. My whole life. I've always been this way. I don't even know how to sleep in. I've never slept in my entire life. And I don't go to bed until, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm up at 4:30. So, maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock. I'm like, okay, it's time maybe to close your eyes. But my mind is always thinking and, what could I do tomorrow? I'm a thinker. I reflect a lot.
You know, that's great, and not to get into any kind of political type conversation, but I've heard like Donald Trump, doesn't sleep very much either, and like I said, I truly do. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty active and intense, and I'm a pretty disciplined guy too, but it's for probably 12, 13 hours a day of work, and then I've got a couple hours of the wind down, and then by 9:30, it is lights out for me. If I had another 4 or 5 hours to operate, I couldn't imagine what could get accomplished. But it's great that there's folks that can operate out there like that, and it's pretty cool stuff. Now, work life balance. I always like to talk about that because you are working all the time, and you had mentioned you've got your children are now adults. Did you have a balance when they were growing up? Was it always this disciplined environment for you? And then was it the same way for the kids? Are they the same way? How did that all work out?
So for me is kids, my family always came first. My kids always came first. It didn't matter who I was with, what I was with, who I was talking to. My kids' family is number one. And then it allowed me to make all other choices very easy. I feel that if we know what's most important to us, that's what we pay attention to. So even though I would travel a lot or I would be in another country, if my child called, it was like, "Everybody, we have to stop. I'll be back in a few minutes." So that really was sometimes I see this all the time. Women who have children, they're like, "I can't juggle it all." I always say to them, "Tell me what's most important. Tell me what you want to accomplish, and then choose when you choose what's most important, make that number one priority. So no matter what happens, you know where the decision needs to make, you know what to choose. And for me, was it difficult between, you know, running around and being a mom? I mean, it's always challenging, right? But you do your best. Again, I can't be perfect. It takes us back to the beginning. I can't be perfect, but I could bring excellent to the moment. And so when I know what's important to me, I know where I'm going to spend. And I don't believe in balance. I believe in integration. So what that means is my whole life is an integration into each other. My family, my work, my service to others. It's all about learning how to integrate them and not separating them in a way that I feel out of whack or out of balance.
You know, our pastor was talking just the other day at church about You can't really give 110% to anything, right? You've got 100% to give. And if you're giving 100%, you know, at work, legitimately 100% all the time, then, you know, then the family's going to be let down. And if you're giving 100% to the family, then the work is going to be let down. But I like that, you know, it's not that you believe in balance, you believe in integration. Can you give one quick example of that before we wrap up the show?
So on a daily basis, it's about, I do believe that in every moment, I have to decide, okay, let's say, okay, so I work, right? And I'm coaching someone or I'm at an appointment with someone and my daughter calls and says, oh, I don't feel good. And then I have to say to myself, okay, I can tell my daughter to call me back later. Or I could say to my client, to me, family comes first. And I let them know what's important to me. And I get on the phone and I take care of my daughter and I say, try this, try that. And then I go back to my client. And so what I've done is I've integrated my personal life into my coaching life, into my professional life. And so my client knows what's important to me, knows my values, knows what comes first. And that's what I mean by integration. Do I wish my daughter would not get colds every other week? Yes. But, you know, I show up because what's important to me is number one.
I'm so glad that you gave a little context to that because, you know, you're starting with the end in mind. You're letting your clients know the situation. And I naturally thought through, it was funny, while you were just talking, my daughter just now called me. And of course, while you're on the radio, you can't take a break and answer a phone call. But, I'm thinking, what does she need? That's what I'm thinking. What you've been able to do with your clients is because they know and you know what's first. You take the call, you figure it out, you get it taken care of, and then you can focus on them again and you're not having to wonder what my daughter needed. Is it important? Is it an emergency? You know, those kinds of things. But great, great information. Now, kind of as we wrap up, I would love to hear how people can engage with you because, you know, there are people, listeners out there that are ambitious, that are wanting to make it happen. They're CEOs and they think, I need to get better. Obviously, I want you to talk about the book, how they can get it and all those things. And then if someone wanted to engage with you, I know you're social, talk about, you know, how you're connected social media wise. And then if someone wanted to get some coaching, what does that process look like? How would they go about getting in contact with you for that?
So the first thing is I'm right now in pre-orders of the book. So I think everybody who loves leadership and who loves others and wants to take themselves to the next level, please pre-order the book because this is what you get. You get lots and lots of different bonuses for different quantities of the book. But even if you pre-order one book, you get a free assessment that most of my clients pay $97 for. And you get a book plus the assessment, I think, for $23. So it's worth it. And I think everybody should go and look at the other bonuses and gifts that I have at theleadershipgapbook.com. Theleadershipgapbook.com. So find the book. It's the book called The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. If anybody wants to connect with me, you can find me at lollydaskal.com. If you want to find me, if you want to work with me in coaching, you can fill out a form in the contact form. We are very accessible. We're very available. We're here to serve others, as I've said a few times on this call. And I am very social. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn. I don't spend that much time on Facebook, but on LinkedIn and Twitter, you can find me, tweet me, I will answer you. And I look forward to connecting to every single person who feels that we've brought some little golden nuggets that mean something to them. I'd love to hear from you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm so thankful for you coming on the show. I know I've got a lot of golden nuggets, and as always, we'll put all those, you know, in the show notes, as well as a link to the leadershipgapbook.com so that you can do the pre-order and get the assessment. I'm looking forward to going through that process myself and having the assessment. You know, as I said earlier, what gets measured gets improved. I'm ready to get measured by one of the best in the world and know a little bit more about her system. So, Miss Lolly Daskal, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Doug, what an honor, what a privilege, and what a pleasure.
Thank you so much, and thanks to our sponsors as well. Ambitious Radio could not do it without you. Tune in Saturdays to Ambitious Radio, where we interview thought leaders and exciting entrepreneurs changing the faces of their organizations. Remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
Thank you for listening to the Ambitious Radio Network, hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders on topics that can be applied immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.